I wonder if you have ever had a comfort blanket. A comfort blanket. Maybe some of you children have a comfort blanket or a toy, maybe a cuddly toy that maybe you used to have, of course. Maybe some of you still have a toy that you really attached all of your affection onto this. It was your favourite thing in all the world. Well, I can recall one of my younger brothers had a little sheep. I dare not name my brother. This little cuddly sheep went everywhere with him. If it was lost, it was an absolute catastrophe. Woe betide mother if it was ever put through the wash. Children place a lot of affection on little cuddly toys or a comfort blanket. It's not that unusual for a child to have something like that. Friends, the theme of this chapter, and indeed the theme of our communion season, is comfort. Where can a child of God find comfort? And I'm aware that many of you need to know much of the comfort of God. Some of you have had health setbacks. Some of you have received bad news. Some of you have been just struggling. Some of you have been worrying, and you need comfort. And in your situation and in your particular set of circumstances, I do trust and pray that God will speak comfort to you, and that through his Comforter, he will minister to you today. Even as the Church of Christ in these days, it's easy for us to feel troubled and anxious as we look at the world around us. There seems to be a prevailing wickedness and ungodliness everywhere. Even this week we saw the gay marriage bill continuing to progress through Parliament. What do we do? Well, Isaiah chapter 40 is a tonic for people in need of comfort. It's like divine first aid, this chapter, or it's like a divine comfort blanket, Isaiah chapter 40. The people to whom Isaiah was writing, they were people in need of comfort. He had prophesied in chapter 39 that they would be taken captive by Babylon, that they would be taken into exile. And so he's writing now, anticipating those days. He's speaking of a time 100 years down the line, when the people of Israel would be in captivity, when they would be in need of comfort. And we saw on Wednesday evening in verses 1 to 8 of the chapter that comfort is found in a covenant king. Comfort is found in a covenant king. Just to briefly recap the opening words, verses 1 and 2, they speak of a covenant relationship. The first line, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." That's covenant language. My people, your God. Even when they would be in exile, they would still be his people. And then verses 3 to 5, they speak of a coming king. Hopefully we recognize these words, verses 3 to 5. They're quoted at the beginning of Mark's Gospel. John the Baptist quotes these words, speaking of the coming of King Jesus. And then in verses 6 to 8, we saw a changeless message that though people come and go, and nations and leaders come and go, the word of God stands forever. And that was verses 1 to 8. But this morning we come to verses 9 to 11 for our attention. We see this morning that comfort is found in a mighty shepherd. Comfort is found in a mighty shepherd. In verse 9, God directs his people to a particular task. They're to call out to the people around them. Well, what was it they were to cry out? What was it they were to proclaim from the rooftops and the mountaintops? Well, look at the end of the verse. At the end of verse 9, "Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." So that was to be their message. Here is your God. Or better translated, I think, behold your God. Behold your God. The same word appears at the beginning of verse 10. It's see in the New International Version. But again, better, behold the Sovereign Lord. And friends, this is God's way for us to stop and to take note. Behold, he says. Look at intently. Let the wonder and the beauty of this come with transforming influence into your life. Behold your God. He has to go right deep into our lives. Look at him. Ponder him. Behold your God. And friends, that's what we're going to do this morning. Before we can go out and tell others to behold him, we must behold him. And so in these verses, mainly verses 10 and 11, we're given a little snapshot of our God. And we're going to stop and we're going to take a good long hard look today at this view of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to behold him. If you're not yet a Christian this morning, you are to behold him. This is your great need. This is to change you and to bring you to him. And for the Christian, you are to behold him. This is to deepen your devotion and to give you peace and strength and above all, comfort. So let me bring to you two truths that if we truly behold, they can administer comfort to our hurting souls. So firstly, in verse 10, behold a mighty Lord. Behold a mighty Lord. In verse 10, it reads, behold, the Sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. Notice those names there for God. Sovereign Lord, or you might have Lord God. The Bible uses different names for God. And when we have the name of God in capitals, that's the translator's way of showing us that the divine covenant almighty name is used, Jehovah or Yahweh. And so literally here in verse 10, Isaiah writes, behold the Lord Yahweh. Or you could put, behold the Lord, Lord, in capital letters. That would be hard for us to get our heads around. And so translators have given us Sovereign Lord or Lord God. In other words, this is a very impressive title given to this Lord. The covenant God of his people. The Lord Yahweh. Not some second-rate servant we're beholding today. This is the Lord himself. Behold the Lord Jesus, this great, mighty Lord who comes with power. And Isaiah goes on, his arm rules for him. Now, Isaiah speaks quite a bit about the Lord's arm. About 15 times he mentions the Lord's arm. Now, God doesn't have an arm the same way we have. But God in his love wants us to understand exactly who he is. And so throughout the Bible, he uses this human-like descriptions of him so that we can understand him better and what he's like. And here we have his arm rules for him. Young men love to show off their arms. They train, they condition themselves so they can flex their muscles. I'm sure you've seen some men this week showing off their muscles. But compared to Christ's arm, oh, they're pathetic. This is a picture of Christ's strength and might and power. His arm rules for him. It's a picture of might. It's a picture of his rolled up sleeve. This is one who is mighty. One who will deliver, No one and nothing can hinder him. Friends, this is one in whom you can have complete confidence. Every difficulty he will deal with. His arm achieved everything that God planned for him. That's why it says, see, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. It's a picture of a victor coming back from battle, and he's got all the spoils of warfare. You see, Jesus, he was sent into this world on a mission. He came to conquer death. He came to deal Satan a death blow. He came to achieve all that the Father set him to do, and he did it all. His arm rules for him, and his reward is with him. Not speaking of our reward, but the reward of the deliverer. You're to picture him, you're to have in your mind's eye this great conquering king who has this vast number with him, a number that no man can count out of all the nations. And he's redeemed them, and he says, they're mine. These are the ones the Father has given to me. I've died for them, and they are rescued. His arm rules for him. So friend, don't ever, ever think of Jesus Christ as one who is weak, as one who is sitting on the sidelines, waiting for man to act. He is the strong one. He has dealt with Satan and sin and death. His arm rules for him. His arm is full of might. It means in your Christian life, friend, every day his arm rules for him. He bears his arm and his strength prevails. His arm is strong enough for all your burdens. Whatever it is you're fretting about and fearful over, his arm is filled with strength, with all the strength we need. Isn't that a wonderful, comforting truth? We look out at the world today and we can be overwhelmed at times by the state of the church. Even in our own little denomination, there are pockets of weaknesses and crises, and we wonder what hope is there. Behold your mighty Lord. His arm rules for him. We look at the persecution of the church at home and especially abroad, and we can feel overwhelmed. We can feel despondent and downcast when we think of the vote in the House of Lords this past week. Twice as many votes to pass gay marriage as those against the bill. What do? We behold our God. His arm rules for him. He's in control. Perhaps you look at your life with all of its twists and turns and troubles. But remember, friend, his arm rules. He is a mighty Lord. His arm is filled with all the strength that we need. And if someone's here and they're not yet a Christian, his arm is strong to save sinners. There's no life too dark for him. In fact, as Isaiah says later in chapter 59, verse 1, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. It's not too short to save. 59, verse 1. So if you're not yet a Christian, this is the one we proclaim to you. This is the one who brings true satisfaction and peace. Behold this mighty Lord. And Christians, as we sit together at the Lord's table there, we're remembering and we're rejoicing and we're beholding this mighty Lord. He's done it. He's done it. He's taken away our punishment. He's taken away our death. He's delivered us that we might never pay for our sin ourselves. He's the mighty Lord. One day every knee under heaven and earth will bow, and every tongue will confess him to be so. And you are to behold him. behold this mighty Lord. Not only does our text set forth this mighty Lord, one whose arm is filled with strength and rules for him, but we see also in verse 11 his tender, gentle love. So secondly, behold a gentle shepherd. Behold a gentle shepherd in verse 11. It reads, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. It's very interesting the way Isaiah brings these two pictures side by side. You have a mighty Lord in verse 10, and then a gentle shepherd in verse 11. We don't usually associate might with gentleness. But here Isaiah puts these two pictures together for us to behold. What a wonderful deliverer. He's both the mighty one, but also the gentle one. Isaiah says he will come like a shepherd. He says he will tend his flock. That has the idea of everything that a shepherd does in looking after the flock. Feeding, nurturing, leading, guiding. Everything that we saw a few months back in Psalm 23. This is the shepherd who loves his flock. He watches them, he knows them, he takes note of them. Isaiah says, he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Now, who are these lambs? Who are the lambs in his flock? Well, we could use it to speak of our children, couldn't we? Certainly, he has a very tender heart for our children. Jesus evidently doesn't think lightly of the little ones in his flock. His eyes are indeed upon our children. Yes. But I think particularly here, when we consider the next few words, we're given a bit more light. The end of verse 11. He gently leads those that have young. Now, who are these people in the flock? Those that have young. Well, think of it in sheep terms. Aren't the sheep in the flock with young? Aren't they the vulnerable ones? Aren't they the weak and the needy ones, vulnerable to attacks from wild animals and illnesses? So these lambs and these sheep with young, this is a picture here of the weak and the vulnerable sheep that Isaiah has in mind. He's writing, after all, to people who know their weakness and vulnerability. It's a picture of tenderness and love. He carries them close to his heart. His shoulders may suffice for lost sheep, but his heart is reserved for the weak sheep. They need and they shall have our Lord's best. Do you see the intimacy of this, friends? He gathers them and he carries them in a place of care and security. And that's what Isaiah's readers needed. God says, look, I have my eye on the weak one. I have my eye on the needy one. And these arms that gather the whole of the universe together, they now wrap themselves around this flock. Behold this mighty one who is so, so gentle. Friends, have you come today as a weak, vulnerable sheep in his flock? Just like one of these lambs or one of these mothers with young, and you're conscious of your weakness, conscious of how vulnerable you are. You're maybe at the point of breaking. You are to look to your God. You are to behold him. You are to know that he's a gentle shepherd and that he carries you close to his heart. You're to see this picture those who are weak, those who are vulnerable, he carries closest of all. Think of who this message was going to men and women who had turned their back, they had rebelled against God. God says, no, 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 you're my people. You're my flock. I'm coming hard after you to gather you to myself. Hasn't that been your experience? Hasn't that been your experience since you last sat at the Lord's table? Over and over again, you find the Lord coming to you, coming in his word preached, coming in the word that you've read at home, coming in the counsel of God's people, and he's been lifting you. He's been gathering you close to himself, gently leading, as Isaiah says. Isn't that a wonderful way to put it? Gently leading. He doesn't come with a stick. He gently leads those overcome by their weakness and vulnerability. Behold him. Behold him today as you sit at this table. The mighty Lord and the gentle shepherd. Now, where else in all the scriptures do you find power and tenderness so married together? Where else do you find might and gentleness? Where is it that you see the power of God and the tenderness of God, as the psalmist says, kiss together? Where? Well, it's at the cross, isn't it? Jesus Christ was so strong and mighty, was so powerful, that he was willing to be weak. He could have called his Father for legions of angels to deliver him. He could have blasted the soldiers away with his breath. But God's strength is made perfect in weakness, isn't it? And Isaiah would later prophesy in chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. What a turn of events. This mighty Lord in chapter 40 becomes the weak, silent lamb in chapter 53. This mighty shepherd becomes the gentle lamb, willing to lay down his life, willing to take the punishment that his people deserve. And friend, if you're not his today, he's willing to receive you. He's willing to receive all that seek for him. And for those of you coming to the Lord's table, you are to behold him. Here is your God. His arm rules for him. His arm is outstretched to you this morning, holding out the bread and the wine. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. An arm that is at one and the same time ruling powerfully for him, but yet also gathering the little lambs close to his heart. And friends, what comfort that is. Amen.